Welcome to the Brave Plug Podcast, Season 2, Episode 10, with Lerato and Minister Savannah.
Hello, and welcome to the Brave Plug Vodcast, Season 2, a time where we fellowship with our dear sisters here at Siloam, where they share encouraging stories, their testimonies, and of course, leave us with some nuggets. Today, I am so excited for our panel today, so I'm going to hand over to my co-host, Tumi, to introduce our panelists and kick us off. Tumi?
Thank you, Shanice. So today, our guests are very special, very close to our heart. We have Lerato and my favorite, my youth pastor is here joining us today, Minister Savs. And, you know, they're going to be unpacking the Great Commission and fulfilling God's mission. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. We are really excited.
I love it. Excited to be here. Oh, lovely. You know what? I know that it's going to be a good time, that you're going to leave us with some pearls of wisdom. And if we can just get started, maybe I'll start with you, Savs. So what is your understanding of the Great Commission?
So my understanding, hi to me and thank you for having us. My understanding of the Great Commission, I think, you know, I don't want to jump in so deep, so early in, but it's also understanding that it is the biggest purpose that we would have our whole entire lives. Mm. And so when I look at the Great Commission, I can't downplay it. I can't say that it's anything less than just taking the name of Jesus into the world and into the lives of people, you know, because it's the name of Jesus that sets free, that delivers, that answers prayers, that breaks chains, that is the answer to everything, you know, it's the name of Jesus. So I can't downplay it, but I have to go that deep right now, right?
That's what we're here for. We love it.
So the Great Commission, I mean, that is the one thing that I believe when we stand before God one day, He's going to ask us, what did you do with the name of Jesus? Mm-hmm. And I think for me, it just holds so much conviction to say, Lord, with my life on earth, did I just use it for me and my own will, or did I actually use this life that you've given me to proclaim the name of Jesus, mm-hmm. to take the name of Jesus to the people that you wanted me to.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. Thank you for sharing, Savs. So, Lerato, maybe I can pose the next question to you.
Yes.
What led you to join the commission team and specifically choosing to serve under the great initiatives of the school's ministry?
Okay, before I answer that question, let me thank the Holy Spirit, who's my teacher, my revealer,
amen.
And the great church, my leaders, to give us this platform. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to first read Romans 12, 7 to 8, which read thus. If your gift is saving others, serve them well.
Mm.
If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. Yeah. So I'm going to denote these two key concepts. The gift, which I always call a seed, and my personality, which will be my personal testimonies why I joined the commission team. So God has given us the gift. He has planted each and every one the gift inside, which is the seed.
Mm.
So if we are not using the seed, I was not using the seed. I was more like a Jonah. You know, I ran away from the call of God. But God will always come after you in ways that you will not expect.
Mm.
The seed that he planted, he knew that because of my training, I was a David in training. 17 years of teaching, high school and primary. I've been trained to stand in multitude of kids, you know.
Mm.
I used to love the assembly because that was the opportune time for me to preach the gospel.
Yes.
So our role will be 1,003, 1,004 every year. 15 years, I did not know. So teachers will be skeptical of standing there, you know. But because of I was in training, I did not know that God will use me for this. You understand? So the seed that is planted in me, the passion that I have of mentoring, the gift of mentoring young, I will always encourage. I'm a medicine science teacher, amazing enough. So before I teach, I will always take the time of teaching medicine science, preach the gospel, mentor them about life issues, more like a life coach. Mm-hmm. So I saw the passion in mentoring kids more than teaching the subject. So that is the gift that I had. So I had to say, you know what, God, you've given me this. Let me surrender. Mm-hmm. Secondly, I had two near-death experiences. I was strangled, left for dead. I saw where I was going. Because I was running away from the calling. As I said, God will come after what he has invested in you. He has placed that seed. He will want it. If you went after Jonah, I was more like a Jonah in the belly of the waves. I was strangled. My car that I drove wanted to crash in the wall, but miraculously, it stopped. So those are the things that have reawakened me. God is reawakening you. The last resort is hearing the audible voice of God. People, God speaks. If we're reading the supernatural God who came to Elijah, you know, in a still small voice, who came to Moses, and why can't he do that for us in this era? Right. He's still the same God we preach about. Yeah. He will come after that so that you will do what he has called you. So he has assigned me for the schools. He has assigned me for the school merit. I came and did the initiative and asked Pastor Janine, you know what? Pastor Janine, I've had this vision. All the time when I pray, God will say, deliverance for children. Release myself, children, from bondage. I will get that. But I was still in school. I did not understand what this means. Mm. So I will always ask God, God, reveal to me what is my assignment. So God took me out of the job. They gave me a job. He told me, get out of the job. I was supposed to get married. He said, leave the marriage. So I had to surrender. Because if I didn't do it, I knew he was going to come after me. So for me to surrender and say yes to the call and get into the commission team and run this ministry of the schools, it's not easy. It's not for the faint-hearted. I love the podcast. It says brave plaque. Mm. We ought to be brave. When you go out there, yes. We ought to be brave. It's not for the faint-hearted. Mm. So the comfort that we are in, my work was a comfort zone. Mm. I was still in school, but God said, leave. Mm. That is a sphere of influence, but it was comfortable for me. So God wanted me to go out to other schools and preach the gospel and win those kids. If I didn't surrender, those kids in the schools in Benoni Black Man wouldn't have known Jesus. We're still, this is the great initiative that I thank God that I've said yes to, the school ministry and to be part and parcel of the commission team of Silo. Thank you so much.
I think that's amazing, right? That you listened to the calling, you stepped out in faith. Mm-hmm. I mean, the actions that you took were so bold, were so loud just to make the statement. Mm-hmm. So I think my next question is for you, Savs, because I know you and your husband, Minister Wasim, you guys are doing such a fantastic job. I mean, every Sunday, we see the number of souls that are being saved, the work that you are doing. So I think my question to you, and maybe you can just share with our listeners, what are the challenges and obstacles that you have encountered in fulfilling this journey?
You know, Shanice, that's such a funny question because I think this year I've reflected on it so much. And I would honestly say that the biggest challenge with most people not serving or not saying yes to the call of God upon their lives is literally ourselves.
Wow.
It's literally ourselves. You know, it's not a thing of that we don't have time. It's just us being at a point where we surrender. Exactly. You know, like what Lerato was saying, it's coming to God and saying, Lord, this is the life you've given me and I have to do what you want me to do with this life. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not my agenda, but your agenda. Exactly. So in saying yes to God, and when we take the name of Jesus to people, when even they say yes to God, it's still a process of still saying yes to God. Mm. It's getting up every day, it's dying to self, and it's saying yes to Jesus. When Jesus calls us, when he says go, when he says, you know, leave this person, leave your job, you know, things like that. And a lot of people have encountered those things in their lives where they had to leave their own desires and fulfill the mandate of God upon their lives. And for some of us, we're still in our workspaces. You know, we still very much, you know, we have the normal day-to-day lives, and God is still in it. You know, it doesn't always have to look like a full-time ministry, but even wherever you are, there is still that willingness. And for even where I've been, like within my teaching space or with even my friendship circles, you know, there's also been times or maybe moments where God would say, you know, don't joke about these things. Mm-hmm. But then you'd laugh and you'd joke about things that you know God doesn't want you to joke about. Mm-hmm. You know, you find yourselves having to navigate situations that would point people to Jesus, but then we end up looking just like the people that are not pointing towards Jesus, you know? So in this year, I think I've just also realized that when I look back at my life, I also realized that I was also Christian, but I was also very much lukewarm in my walk with God. And I think God just had to really set ablaze who he is. And for me, when I recognized the magnitude of my sin, I could recognize the magnitude of his grace and recognize his sovereignty over my life. And when I look at that and I see how much God would still give me, even though I don't deserve it, because I'm really not deserving of anything, I believe, because it's just by his grace that we find ourselves where we are, you know. So I think it is a very big obstacle, and we see this also with the young people, you know. You're chasing independence. You want to become established in all of those things. And we sometimes just give God like the back foot of our lives, you know, instead of saying, Lord, you take the wheel.
Sure. Thank you so much, Sabs, for sharing with us. And if I may just share a little bit, Shanice, I don't know if you were there. You know, we had it was a Friday, and it was Pastor Wasim and Sab's anniversary. Ooh. And they came to still share the word with us, the young adults. And, you know, when she speaks about these things, it's not just like cute little words that she's putting together, but literally we get, I think I've been very blessed to see it also sitting in the front seat. So thank you. And, you know, now I'll pose the next question to you, Lerato. As you go to the schools, you know, what, I guess it takes relationship building. So what have you built any authentic relationships just to fulfill God's calling upon your life? And how has that been?
I love that question, authentic relationships. You know, there's one thing about God. God is a relationship builder, and he is the person of relationship. It's me and him, you and him. Yeah. So he will always want a relationship. So first, it starts in the church. So he aligns you, number one, with the people who have the same heart that you have. People who support you. You will bring the Arons. I remember studying this initiative. I said, God, please, I pray, bring the people who have the same heart, the same vision, you know, who are after your heart and who are after saving your kids. And he will bring the right people. So your Arons, your Elijahs, God will align them. You don't have to look for them. He will bring them. So these are the lasting relationship I have in the church, and I'm grateful for that. Even the team that God has built, I started doing this alone. But as I prayed, God poured the people with the right spirit, the passion of winning souls to school, the passion of mentoring young girls and boys, you know. They have the heart. they have the heart of a father because they know this is the cry of a father's heart. Mm-hmm. This is the heartbeat. You know, people, the Great Commission, it is not only here in church. Out there, God is saying, if we go to schools, you know, kids are dying of a lot of things because they have no knowledge of Christ. Mm-hmm. And there are many challenges that we're facing. But if we have people who have the same heart, who have the patience, you must have patience. Yeah. There's one thing about the school ministry. Mm. You ought to have patience and show empathy. These are the characters that you need to have. So I have this relationship, and I'm grateful for God to bring in these people and who always pray together. Mm. Secondly, in the communities, I will find people doing the same thing. God will align you. Mm. Obviously, you must test the spirit. Whoever comes along your way, you must test the spirit. So I will find pastors doing the school ministry, preaching at schools, and NGOs. I'm now under the NGO. You know, God works mysteriously. Your personality, I'm this bubbly person, I'm loud. I did not understand why my loudness, but it came in handy. And I love to look good. So I'm partnering with the NGOs that are doing beauty contests. We are picking up kids from schools, doing, but it is a doorway to minister, to teach them the word of God, to disciple them. So I'm a partner with the Step into Positivity, the NGOs that you are working with, where we mentor young girls in the beauty, but mostly being godly princess, how they ought to carry and know God. Yes. Because discipleship is about putting somebody under your wing. As somebody has discipled me, I was discipled first when I did not know God. Somebody took an initiative of discipling me for 2 years until my eyes opened up. So it's not only preaching the gospel and telling them how you ought to carry them under your wing. You must make sure you are the priest. You disciple them as you were once disciples. So the NGOs, like even Tapis Foundation, our beautiful sister was here in church. We are saving, we are going out to schools as well, you know, partnering, finding kids. But it's not about giving as well. They ought to know their Lord and Savior at a primitive stage. That is the call, that the cry of a father, you know, to start these ambassadors. The enemy attacks the seed. If he can get to the seed, then he has destroyed the nation. So hence, I had to step up and say, God, yes, here I am. Pastor Atemo said, for God to do something on earth, he's looking for what? A man. He will always look for, I'm looking for a man. So I said, yes, here I am. I left everything, God. But I'm grateful. The relationship that I have with the communities, it's beautiful. It's a lasting relationship, authentic. We are partnering together now, going to school. So God aligns it with the right people and who have the right heart. Yeah. So I'm grateful for what he has done already. Thank you so much.
That's amazing. And so I think in conclusion, Savs, if we can just pose this question to you, what few words of encouragement can you share with our listeners to just empower them to join this great commission in fulfilling God's mission?
That is such a beautiful question. And I'm going to link it back to the first answer of what the Great Commission is. It's just taking the name of Jesus out. And maybe somebody's watching this and they've never just done that before.
Yeah.
And it's just literally introducing somebody to Jesus. And sometimes it can just be you showing somebody your lifestyle until they ask about Jesus or they come to you or recognize that you're a child of God and they also want to be a child of God. But I would say, like, just step out of your comfort zone. You know, as Lerato also spoke on it, step out of your comfort zone because these things that God calls us to do is not comfortable. It's not comfortable. It's not. And if we always within our comfort zones, we are going to just stay there. And I don't think, you know, God would want that for us. With this being the Brave Plug, God would want us to be brave and bold and courageous and take his name out. So I would say, you know, when the enemy comes in, and even if he comes in like a flood, say, no, devil, there is no space for you. The name of Jesus is better than you, and I'm taking his name. So sometimes you will face opposition. People might not always be willing, but you just continue planting the seeds. You just continue planting the seeds. When it's time, God will water those seeds and they will grow. Because the mandate is that all of us will be, we are God's children and God wants to adopt us all into his family. He's just the father that wants his children to be in communication with him. That's all God wants. And if we just say yes to God, then we connect to him. But when we don't, then we connect him to something that's not of God, because there's no in between. It's either God or it's the devil. So I'm going to put it like that, because that's the truth, and we have to speak the truth, right? In love. So even when we do approach people, it's not to say that, you know, you're doing everything wrong, but it's just to say that I love you and God loves you and this is who our father is. But if you don't experience God as a father, you are going to experience God as a judge. So there's either two ends of the God that you're going to meet, and we want to experience him as a father. So we might as well just then live life, submit it to him, and see his hand then over our lives.
Can I add on that one as well? If we can have three things in our mind, eternity, first of all. If we can wake up and be reawakened of one day I'll leave this earth and what will God say? Pastor Stem was saying, it's either you are amongst these three servants, you are the one who has the five talents, you use the five talent, you are the one who has the two talent, or you are the one who hid the talent and you are afraid or maybe lazy. So as much as I love what Steph said, we always preach about the good God, but we forget God is a judge. He's a just judge. When he says, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, or you wicked servant, he's not talking about the world. He's talking about me and you. That I called you for this specific assignment. You did your own will. If I did not surrender and say yes to the call of school ministry, those souls would have won them. These people who are God has aligned, these disciples that God, these are disciples. God, I'm just a servant, a vessel of honor. I said, yes, Lord, I'm not taking any glory. God deserves this glory. But I'm thankful for God to use me. So everyone will stand in the judgment seat. Are you working for your will or his will? Remember, Jesus said, I came to serve, and I came to do the works of the one who sent me. So he knew his assignment. So each and every one, we must know our assignment. One day we'll be judged. We ought to have an eternity mindset that when we come to church, it's good. We are being discipled. We are being exhorted all the time. We are meat eaters, people. People are pregnant in the church. The world is needing us. The prisons are dying. Schools are dying. There's a lot of chaos. That demonic manifestation as we go there. Trust me. We need fathers as well. These kids have absent fathers. So the laborers are few. When Jesus is crying for the laborers, the harvest is plenty. Where you are, it is a mission field. Take that as the harvest. So wherever you go, it is a mission field, it is the harvest that God is. And he has called everyone to their own nation. My nation will be the school. Doesn't mean I'm not preaching to others, but I know the assignment that God has given me is the nation of schools. So everyone will stand in the judgment seat of God and say, are you a faithful servant or are you a wicked servant? You choose, but we ought to serve. So this is the cry of our father. This is an urgent call of action for every believer. It's not the pastor's responsibility. It's not the reverend's responsibility, the bishop. It is each and everyone who calls themselves a believer, child of the living God, Christian. You say yes to the Lord. You ought to go out and serve. So if people are not serving, I'm telling you, judgment is coming, whether we believe it or not. God is still a just judge. He's going to judge you of what he has called you to do. So this is what I wanted to add. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, ladies. We're going to put a pin on it at this point in time. And you know what? We definitely need a part two of this. This was a very good and great conversation. We definitely took some nuggets with us. Definitely. And thank you. Thank you for joining us. And thank you for being so brave and encouraging us to be brave as well.
Thank you so
thank
much.
You so much.
You're welcome. We had fun. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.